welcome to another episode of the Wet Sox No Skate podcast. I'm Eric Frick here with Andrew Nelson, and today we have one of my favorite Quebecers. And in hindsight, we probably should have put this episode right after Robbie Provost. Mm-hmm. We have Josh Segay. Josh, hey, what's up, man?
I'm happy to be here. Happy to be on the podcast.
Dude, thank you so much for coming on. And are we saying your last name right? Josh Segay?
I was just going to ask that. Yeah.
It's a French last name. So, Segay works.
Segain? Is that how we would say it in French? Segain?
Yeah.
Segain? Okay, got it. It only took me like, what, maybe 12 plus years to figure that out? Well, sick, man. Let's jump right into it. What sparked your interest in snow skating back in Quebec?
Okay. Well, skateboarding was very popular in 2001, 2002.
Okay.
And I got my first skateboard in 2002. And then that winter or the one afterwards, some of my friends started having snow skates.
Okay.
And basically my interest was sparked right away. I think my first ever session was with a skate, just like a skate deck.
Okay.
Without wheels. And even that was super fun. Like the idea of having to, because I used to snowboard at first.
Okay.
And I thought that snow skating was kind of like a really fun mix of snowboarding and skateboarding.
Right. So do you remember the first real snow skate that you got?
Yeah. So first one that I got was those blue fortresses.
Oh, okay. Yep.
The blue fortress. And that one snapped really rapidly.
Mm.
I've never heard of one of those snapping. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. I landed on it upside down and it just snapped.
And were these the fortresses that had like flexed like crazy, or were they the super, super stiff ones?
It was the stiff ones.
Stiff one. Okay. So this was, did you get that in 2002 then?
No, I think I got it in 2003.
Okay. So immediately break a board. Immediately break your first snow skate. That doesn't seem like a very good start.
No. Well, it turned out well because I was able to email Premiere.
Okay.
And they sent me a new one right away.
Mm. Okay.
Lo and behold, that replacement one broke again.
Oh.
Similar kind of thing, or maybe it was one of my friends that broke it. But after this, I actually remember calling. I called him, and there wasn't any answer. And then he called back while I was having dinner. Andy Wolf called me because I had called him.
Okay.
And he just said something very nice. He said something like, "Oh, I'll just send you a different one if that one keeps breaking."
Hmm.
And he sent me JP Walker.
Oh, a wood board. Okay,
yeah,
so that
the car one.
Gotcha. So that must have been much better for you in comparison to the plastic ones, not even considering that they were constantly breaking on you.
Oh yeah. I thought that was very kind of him and to do that right away.
Absolutely. And it's actually kind of similar to what happened with me with my first ambitions. I think like two of my first three ambitions broke, and Alex was on it right away, and he was, you know, sent me out replacement boards just immediately. And those were, of course, the first batch of ambitions. But it's cool that Andy Wolf did something similar for you way back in the day.
Yeah.
So did you start having an interest in filming right away, or were you just having fun like snow skating in the backyard? And also, where were you at this time in Quebec?
I was living with my mom and my stepdad in Saint-Jérôme.
Okay. And where is that in relation to Montreal?
It's about 45 minutes north of Montreal.
Okay.
In terms of filming and stuff, I think I was interested in it almost right away. The first snow skate that I got came with It was either turn it out or a submission.
Oh, okay.
And then that naturally had a link to the website, and I, you know, jumped on the forums right away.
Sure.
And yeah, was interested in filming. I don't think that first year I filmed anything, let's say, out of interest to be in a video, but I do remember making a school project.
Oh, cool.
About snow skating in heaven.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So you used some clips that you were filming for this school project, Snow Skating in Heaven?
Yeah.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Did you get an A for it?
Yeah.
There you go.
What were your thoughts on Turn It Out when you had that video? Was that like your first time seeing other people snow skate, or were there like other people in your neighborhood that was getting popular, or like what was your relationship to that video?
Okay, so there was never really anyone in my neighborhood that was as interested in snow skating as I was.
Okay.
So right away, like, the videos and the forum sort of became a very important hub in terms of meeting other people that were interested in
sure.
it. And yeah, like, I remember that video, Turn It Out, was really, really good. And I had even watched the two previous ones. Well, there's Uprising and then another one that I don't remember the exact name
okay.
of it. That I would watch a lot as well.
Gotcha. And when you joined the Ambition forums, were you also talking to other snow skaters on MSN at this time, or were you just lurking?
No, this was the Premier forums.
Right. I guess it's kind of a running joke because I think everybody that's been on here before has talked about talking to other snow skaters on MSN.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. We spoke on MSN for sure. We spoke on the forums for sure. We I don't know if anyone spoke about Snowpix, which you
yeah. Oh, yeah. Snowpix.net. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So that was like a really big thing. To getting ready for the talk today, I wanted to write down every single video I was in.
Okay.
But I got a pretty good list. But a lot of those videos are unfortunately lost forever because when Snowpix shut down, we just lost everything.
Ah, yeah, that's a bummer. I wonder if anyone's checked the archive.org for snowpix.net. That'd be something that we should try to look into and see if any of that content yeah. still exists.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
That'd be cool. So you mentioned making that list. Did you start to film for videos and be in them shortly after discovering this other community of snow skaters?
Yeah, I think it must have been the year after that I started meeting other snow skaters online.
Okay.
I remember I met Robbie in 2005.
Okay.
Robbie Provo.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this is during the summer. And I remember meeting also James Martinson. Jens, I don't know if you've known James.
No, I'm not
Jensen
familiar.
Fisker.
Oh, yep.
And of course, Charles Olivier, Simard,
mm-hmm.
and Steven Sognacki.
Oh, yep. He's an OG.
So we were in this movie called Steven was organizing this film called Snow Skate Canada.
Okay.
And that was very, very exciting. I remember staying up almost kind of all night on the night of the release because he was having problems uploading it or whatever. And that was really nice. So it was just so cool to be able to collaborate with people I never really saw.
Mm-hmm.
Well, up to that point. And to be able to make kind of like a video.
Right. Absolutely. And I'm guessing that video is gone with the fall of snowpix.net?
Well, I haven't done any research for it, but I think Snowskate Canada might be gone. Or maybe
Okay.
Zach has it. Maybe Zach or Alex have it.
Yeah, we got to give Zach a call and see if he's able to
Yeah.
dig that up. Yeah, if anybody listening knows that, DM the Snowskate Source Instagram. I'd be very curious
Yes.
to see that OG Snowskate footage. But you mentioned meeting Robbie Provost online. Did you start snow skating with him shortly after this? Because I know that Awkward started, or at least, loosely started around 2005, 2006. And I know that he was also relatively close to you, or at least near Montreal, correct?
When I met him, the first time I met him is funny because we were supposed to meet at a skate park, well, in La Plaine, which is in between Saint-Jérôme and Montreal.
Okay.
And me and my buddy, we went. I had a scooter back then, like a little scooter.
Sure.
And yeah, so we took a scooter. We took my scooter, and we went all the way there. And then I met him. Well, I actually didn't meet him that time because I couldn't. The skate park was so packed, like I didn't even know who he was. But I was there that first time to we were supposed to meet, but we did not meet finally on that one evening.
Okay.
But we met again that winter, as you say, in 2005, 2006. And the first session was really fun. And I don't think I was really part of Awkward from the beginning. It seemed like it was really just like the three or the four of them.
Okay.
Now, in Snowskate Canada, can you talk a little bit about the kind of tricks you did? Like, were you doing like ride-ons, or was this to the point where you guys were like ollieing down gaps, or like what was really snowskating like for you then?
Okay, snow skating was lots of snowboard parks,
Okay.
actually. We'd have fun like going to the ski hills and either riding the snow parks there or the snow skate parks if they had some.
Sure.
And yeah, trying not to get kicked out, trying to like sneak into the snow park sometimes. So there was lots of that, and there was a fair share of backyard and street as well,
Sure.
but it wasn't anything like I was watching the recent videos today, specifically Josh Oakes, and yeah, it wasn't anything like that.
Not much street footage with, 2+ foot ollie on stuff.
Yeah, no, the street footage was pretty still rudimentary at that stage.
Sure. So when you were going to these resorts, were you actually buying lift tickets and riding the lifts and like drilling holes in your snow skate so you could have a leash, or were you just, hiking and hoping you didn't get kicked out?
Yeah, it was more of like a hiking and hoping not to get kicked out kind of thing.
Wow. Yeah, that doesn't
Yeah.
sound too sustainable, if you will. But
No, definitely not.
oh, that's cool though. But you got footage out of it, at least some, right?
Some footage. I feel like it was mostly in Ontario that they had the snow skate parks at the ski hills,
Sure.
which was really cool. Here in Quebec, not really, but we made it work, you know.
Sure. And you eventually got on Premiere and had some footage in white contrast, correct?
Yes.
So how did getting sponsored by Premiere come about?
That's a very good question. So the company had undergone a change of management. And so instead of Andy Wolf, who was the person in charge, became this woman called Michelle Miller. And that's when they redesigned the logo, the Premiere logo, from just kind of like red, just like a red P, to more of like a, I don't want to say graffiti, but more of kind of like the logo became, I think it was based off of The art that year was pretty cool of the premiere. That's when Max Hilty had a spider
on
his model. Like, this was the spider. And so they had an event. They had this event. I'm pretty sure this was in 2005.
Okay.
In November. This event in New Hampshire, at this place called Rye Airfield.
Okay.
Which is an indoor skate park and also outdoor, I think, motocross kind of track.
Okay.
And I had met Rico and Alex Blais the winter before in January 05.
Okay.
At this event called the Winter Snow Skate Fest, which was the first snow skate event that I participated in.
Okay.
And so I was kind of getting motivated, or being sponsored was kind of had started to become a goal of mine or a possibility of mine.
Sure.
And going to Rye Airfield, this was for my very good friend Rico Desjardins. This was for his birthday, and for birthday, his parents brought us down with me, Alex Blais, and Rico Desjardins. But the event was a total shit show.
Okay.
Because there wasn't any snow at all.
Oh, okay. That's a problem.
And but they had flown, like, Isaac Hebert, they, like, flown him in from Alaska.
Mm.
And Max Hilty, they flew him in from Colorado. Phil Smaggi was there as well. I don't know if he drove or... Actually, Nick Ahearns or Ahrens?
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm pronouncing it wrong. But he showed up as well. He drove all the way from Alaska.
Oh, wow.
So it was this huge thing in northern New Hampshire.
Okay.
With basically arena snow.
Ugh.
And there was this box. Anyways, Rye Airfield was sort of when Premier became managed by Michelle Miller.
Okay.
And I got on the team at the end of that winter. I think it's Justin Majeski that helped me get that. That told Michelle that I should be on the team.
Okay. Okay.
He made a film too that I was in that year. Yeah, so that year I wasn't in. I don't think I was in any of the Premier films, but I was in a bunch of other independent films.
Okay.
And the film that Justin Majeski made was called. Do you guys remember? Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Would that have been on their his like Variant 3 production kind of label, or was that a little later? I can't remember. I think I know what one you're talking about, but I cannot remember it.
Yeah, so... Hmm. But anyways, yeah, so that was Justin that got me on Premiere.
Gotcha. And did you meet him at the Rye Airfield event? And did, you know, Premiere and all those guys being there have something to do with that? Or was it more the exposure that you had from the more independent snow skate films that you were in throughout the course of that winter?
I don't think Justin was there at Rye Airfield.
Oh, okay.
But definitely to meet, let's say to meet Max Hilty and Phil Smaggi and Michelle Miller. To meet all those people certainly probably helped put me on the radar.
Sure, sure. Gotcha. Very cool. So. Going forward, now that you're on Premiere, did you know that you were filming for what would be White Contrast, or were you just, you know, happy to be on the team and getting boards and just continuing to, you know, skate the way that you had been skating?
I was pretty happy to be filming for the video. And I was still just skating as I was skating usually. I was probably doing more trips. Going more often to see Rico.
Okay.
Yeah.
And was Rico living near you at this time?
Not near, but not far. He was living in this small town outside of a bigger town called Drummondville.
Okay. And that is that just north of Montreal, like a northern suburb?
No, it's east.
East, okay.
Yeah. It's a different city. But it was just like a 2 or 3 hour bus ride away.
Okay.
So I would take the bus Friday after school, and then I'd come back on Sunday.
Oh, very cool. So I imagine you were filming with him at this time, and you know, Rico would be a really interesting person to, you know, talk to about his early days in snow skating, because he was one of the first people to put snow skate videos on YouTube, and a lot of those early snow skate videos have a lot of views, like hundreds of thousands of views back in the day. So did that inspire you to, you know, start filming more and start using YouTube and the other tools that were available on the internet at that time?
Not really, no.
Okay.
But I was really happy for him because he came up with this brilliant tactic. He called his video snow skate.
Yeah, all of them. Yeah, that's right. So, just a lowercase snow skate.
It was very easy to find his stuff online.
Right. Hard to figure out which video, you know, which is which, but it's easy enough to find the snow skate videos. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. At that time with the YouTube algorithms, that was probably genius for people looking for snow
really
skate stuff.
Game the system there. Shout out to Rico on that one.
Oh, that's great.
I forgot about that.
So filming for the premiere project and being in White Contrast, what happened after that? Because shortly after White Contrast was released, Premiere kind of fell apart, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So did you know that Premiere was formally coming to an end and go over to Ambition, or was it more gradual, or how did that shake out?
So I think during the last 2 years of Premiere, and now I'm not really sure about the dates, but I did go to the X Games.
Oh, okay.
Two times.
Okay.
And after this, the first time I went, it was Michelle Miller and it was Chip Dogg.
Okay.
That were kind of like the representatives of the company that were there.
Mm-hmm.
Then pretty much everyone who was snow skating back then was there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second year, Michelle was gone. Chip was still there. And then there was this guy named Timothy something,
mm-hmm.
or Tim something.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really have it because it was all very impressive to me, you know.
Okay.
It was all very impressive that we were staying in these big, we were basically staying in this big, in this huge cottage with a hot tub and kind of like living the life in a way.
Sure.
During the X Games, it was very, very nice.
Mm-hmm.
So it all seemed very well put together. But then when it fell apart, well, I guess no one really questioned why that happened. Everybody kind of knew that it, because the company had been changing hands so many times that
right.
it was bound to lose the initial fire or passion, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So did like Tim or whoever was running it at that time reach out and say, hey, you know, this thing is folding, or did it just become obvious that nothing was going to happen and the company was just kind of done and everyone went their separate ways at that point?
Yeah, there was never any formal sort of end of contract kind of announcement stuff.
Sure.
But I remember I was still receiving boxes. I was still receiving twice a season team boxes, pretty much. Maybe even up until the year after the website had started not really functioning anymore.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And is that after you had gotten on Ambition too?
Yes. But when I was on Ambition at first, it was only they were only making long sleeve shirts.
Ah, yeah, the apparel company. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you were on that while you were on Premiere, and then of course when Premiere folded, you went over and started writing the Ambition boards. So how did that transition work with Alex Blay and him, you know, sort of creating a snow skate team, not just an apparel team, but a board team from the ground up?
Okay, well, that worked very organically. I remember I was pretty much talking with Alex almost on a daily basis, in the winter at least. And when he decided to make snow skates, when he decided to start making snow skates, I think they were a very small run. I think the first year, the first year of prototypes had only like a couple dozen boards that he made, because he was making them all in a little shed kind of thing, like with his dad, I believe. And yeah, so that was a very smooth transition, because I pretty much at the moment I stopped receiving boards from Premier, I started receiving boards from Alex from
Perfect.
Ambition. And that was really better for me, because anyways, we were all friends, we were on the same level, and it felt like with Premier there was some sort of authority, or some sort of yeah, like a different kind of authority. Whereas with Ambition, it was all we were all just friends.
No, I imagine that made it a lot easier. And especially with all, well, not all of you guys, but most of you guys being in Quebec versus with, you guys dealing with people in the US and, different people every year in the US, it sounded like. Cool. So going into filming for True Color and writing Ambition boards, how did that come about? And did you guys know that that was going to be, I guess, a big process and, like a grand video showing, if you will, from Ambition at that time?
Yeah, I think we all knew that it was a pretty big deal.
Okay.
It all felt really exciting and new. And Nick Stefani had this great vision of making a snow skate video, but also making kind of like an art piece, which is what the Premiere videos never really attained in a way. And so it was very exciting to be doing something as artistic as it was. It was a snow skate video, and there were tricks involved, but it was also kind of like trying to make it really artistic. And the night sessions and everything was conducted with such precision that, and there were so many of us. Like, I remember in Burlington, leading up to when we all went to Montreal, like, there must have been at least 10 people crammed into Nick, because Nick Stefani was living with Alex Crowcroft at the time. And we were all just a bunch of us in this college town, a bunch of young men, and really intent on making something amazing. And so even if someone was hurt, or if someone was under the weather on that day, well, there were still a bunch of people ready to film a bunch of clips. And so did we know that it was going to be a big thing for snow skating? Yeah, we did.
And because of that, did you feel additional pressure during filming with, everything that Nick was doing to make it a more artistic production and knowing that it was going to be a big deal in snow skating? Or even with that going on, did it still feel like, just going out like snow skating with your friends and filming like it had been before?
Yeah, for me it always felt just like having a good time.
So I've heard a lot of these filming trips for True Color, some of the not so serious filming missions. Sounded like you guys had a lot of fun on these trips. Do you have any good True Color filming stories?
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. So especially on the night that we all left from Burlington. When I say we all left, it was me, Nick Stefani, Alex Crowcroft, I'm pretty sure Alan was there.
Okay.
Alan Gerlach.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Smaggi. And five. And a few other, if there are a few others, then I'm sorry that I forget you guys. But okay. So we all left, and Alex had rented us a big van, like a touring van.
Okay.
To drive all the way up to Sherbrooke. And I remember that night, like, we were just drinking beers in the van, driving in the middle of the night, listening to the craziest music, listening just to pure funk. I remember it was Nick Stefani was into funk music a lot.
Okay.
And it was just kind of like a wild, it felt like we were driving up to the promised land or something.
Okay.
And I don't think anyone slept that night, because we were so excited to start the trip.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. That's really cool. So there's another story that is a bit of an urban legend in snow skating, if you will. About the night that you went clubbing with Nick Stefani and Crowcroft involving another girl's hair. Do you want to tell that story on the record, Josh?
Yeah, for sure. So it was, as you said, it was us three plus Max Hilty.
Okay.
And Alex Crowcroft coming up to Canada. So I think we were spending about 10 days. Well, they were spending about 10 days in Montreal.
Okay.
And half of the team was sleeping at my place, which was pretty close to downtown at the time.
Okay.
And the other half were staying at the house of Émile Baron and his brother, Samuel Baron.
Okay.
And they were living on the South Shore, so a little bit outside of the city.
Mm.
And because I was closer to the action or the nightclubs, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
The half of the team that stayed with me were kind of like the partiers.
Sure.
So one night we all decided, oh yes, and this is very impressive to me. But Alex Crowcroft came up to Canada for 10 days. With, I think he had $8 on him.
Oh my goodness.
And he made it. He made it, right?
Wow.
And then when Max Hilty showed up, he, his grandma had, no, one of his aunts had, I believe, given him $5,000 for Christmas.
Mm.
And he's a very generous guy. I mean, and this time he was very generous. And he said, let's go out tonight. Like, we had a good day filming. Like, we had a good session. Let's go out. So we went to this place called Les Fofons Électriques.
Okay.
And then, the drinks were being poured and shots were had. And we all ended up dancing. So Les Fofons Électriques in Montreal on St. Catherine Street has this giant dance floor.
Okay.
And then we just started dancing. Yeah, I think it was Nick Stefani who was making out with someone's hair. But I think it's funny because I think she was into it or something like that. Like, I believe she must have ended up like turning her head or something at some point. Because I can't see something like that going on for very long.
Yeah. No, I've always had a lot of questions about how that came about, and especially what happened afterwards.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. So was this the same night that in the True Color Extras, you had a quote saying, I have a boyfriend, but she's not here? Or, I have a boyfriend, but he's not here, so do you want to make out? Was it this same night and same experience, or was that something totally different?
I think that was a totally different story.
Oh, do you want to go into that on the record, Josh?
No.
No? Okay. All right. Fair enough. We won't push you anymore. Oh, man. Those are such great stories. And anybody who goes back and watches the True Color extras, I mean, you could see how much fun those guys are having. And just trying to get a lot of these stories out on the record because it just seemed like such a great time in snow skating.
Yeah, and a monumental video too, your part we just watched before the recording. And yeah, I'd say that video just still holds up. It's such a magic video.
Oh yeah, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So after True Color came out, you guys started the Snow Skate Aliens project, which was much different than True Color and very entertaining, especially your part. So did you guys know that when you were filming for Aliens that it was going to be a looser, more fun project?
Yeah, I think with True Color, what Nick wanted to do and what everyone else had agreed to do was to establish Ambition as a serious competitor to Premier Snow Skates.
Okay.
In terms of the quality of its team.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was really important for us to legitimize this new company, I believe.
Sure.
And to sort of attract people over to our side.
Mm-hmm.
People who were maybe disappointed with the lack of improvement, or maybe who just wanted to try something new.
Mm-hmm.
So with True Color, what ended up happening was that I think it was the best snow skate video up until that point,
right,
when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember us talking that we wanted to make a video every year after that.
Mm-hmm.
And how the second one, in consequence of that, had to be something that was more fun.
Sure.
Had to be something that showed the funny side of snow skating.
Mm-hmm.
But I somehow think that the Snow Skate Aliens is actually more technical a little bit.
Yeah, there was a lot of really, really good skating in Snow Skate Aliens, and especially a lot of your tricks. Like, there was a lot of stuff that people just weren't doing, like, you know, foot plants and, you know, running around a little bit with your board in your hand, like, to make a line out of certain things. Like, that was really cool, and especially what stuck out to me rewatching that part was doing the 50-50 over that bench that, like, acted as a teeter-totter. Like, how did filming for that come about?
Oh, that was Robbie's idea.
Of course, Robbie. Man, Robbie's the best dude.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's really cool. And the Avatar real-life environment stuff clip that happened at the beginning, it sounded like you were filming with Charlot. Did you have any idea that something like that would even make it into the video, or are you guys just, you know, out snow skating and having fun?
On that particular day, we were just out snow skating and having fun. And I remember his GoPro helmet. That was I thought that was really funny. And it's funny because there's actually the shot where I am doing the kickflip. It's funny that the only the intro shot of that shot was put into the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I was always confused by that, in that there was that intro shot and then there was like nothing else in your part that had anything to do with what was going on there. Yeah, that was a bit
missions from outer space.
Yeah. And the peep the gooch.mov clip, I always thought that was super funny too. Was that just like a Stefani thing that happened during the editing process?
Yeah, that was an inside joke that whole winter.
Okay.
Peep the gooch. I don't know where it came from. I don't know where it came from. But it was a pretty Gucci for us, for sure.
Oh, that's hilarious. I actually have a clip that I'm sitting on that is paying homage to that, that I don't know what I'm going to use it for. But I definitely want to keep that joke going because I always thought that was really, really funny.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's good. But let's talk about your involvement with Awkward in addition to Ambition. So how did, like, filming for the Awkward projects overlap with what you were doing with Ambition? Because I know that a lot of it was happening at the same time. I mean, you were still skating and filming with Roby, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So how did you go out and like designate what was going to go toward Awkward and what was going to be used for Ambition?
So that was never my decision.
Okay.
Really? I moved in with... when I moved in with Roby, this was in 2010, I believe.
Okay.
That I moved in with Roby. And, that winter, the winters that we were filming, that we filmed together, he was the main filmer for me.
Okay.
It was always just us two, unless I was somewhere else. It was always him that was filming.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what we did is we sent all of my footage to Alex Blais or Nick Stefani, depending on the year.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually chose the tricks that were to be used. And then the rest Roby used in the Awkward montage.
Gotcha. So it was kind of just leftover footage from your part?
Yeah, but I don't want to see it as leftover.
Sure.
Because there are also some things that we did specifically for Awkward. There's actually a year where my two parts are really different in the Awkward montage and in the Ambition montage.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even sure if that video is still up on if that Awkward video is still up. But I remember being pretty happy that I had two different parts with two different vibes.
Mm-hmm. Was that
albeit kind of short, but still at least like two different parts in two different videos. I thought that was pretty cool.
Was that the Skrill Clinton and Axe Sword year? Because that was probably my favorite Josh year of skating, because I recall those two parts coming out at roughly the same time and being stoked on both of them.
I actually think I agree with you that I think that that's my best year so far in my snow skating career, definitely. But I believe the Awkward montage that I'm talking about is the one that would have came out the same year as Snowskate Aliens.
Aliens. Okay. So that was probably Kids on Holiday, I think, was before Axe Sword.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it exists on, it may be on Rob's Vimeo, and it's okay. Definitely on Zach L. Warden's YouTube channel, the one that he made for Snowskate archival purposes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yep. So it's definitely out there. Mm-hmm. I'll have to go back and rewatch that. I didn't get around to seeing that before we did the interview today, but. Moving on to Skrill Clinton and Axe Sword, and you said that was probably your best year of snow skating. Talk about the process of filming for both of the videos that year.
Okay. So by this time, Roby and I had moved out of our first apartment together into our second apartment together.
Okay.
And this was a really nice place, and we kind of chose it to with the idea that we needed to have a big living room to host snow skaters during the winter.
Okay. And was this what you were referring to as the Awkward Loft back in the day?
I think this was the Awkward Loft.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Or the lighthouse.
Oh, yep. Okay.
So we were very excited for snow skating before it even started snowing. And I remember as soon as it started snowing, I think Evan Ciniello and Braden Yoy came over. James Cybulski as well, and Jensen Fisker.
Okay.
I think it was the four of them that came. Or at least they came. That winter, there was different people every weekend that was staying with us.
Okay.
And if it wasn't people staying with us, it was us that were staying elsewhere. And that's when Roby and I had the big trip. We left on Boxing Day, and we took a night bus to Burlington, and we stayed up all night. and Nick came and picked us up, and then we went to local ski resort, and then we snow skated outside of his house. I didn't take my shirt off, but they had taken their shirts off, and they were riding a box. It was really fun. It was a cool obstacle. It was like a kicker to box thing.
Yeah.
Deliriously shirtless. It was a very exhilarating time. And then we took a plane to Minneapolis. So that was kind of pretty much like 3 weeks nonstop of filming every day for these two projects.
Okay. And well, was the Minneapolis trip the safari time year? I think that it was, because we were just watching that safari time part and that it had the clips in Cloquet and Minneapolis and whatnot. I'm not sure if the Skrill Clinton one that had Minneapolis footage.
Oh, okay. Then I must be confused. I think Skrill Clinton, I had flown out to Bjorn's place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So Robbie wasn't there on that trip.
Gotcha. Okay. But yeah, that Skrill Clinton part, you had the famous Montreal spot. I think it's called the Big Two, where you did the hippie jump to the 5-0 on that thing. And then okay. The front board on that bridge that looked just terrifying. How conditions just looked awful that day. Was everything as icy as it seemed, as it like looked in that clip? Cause it looked just awful to skate.
No, it was the nicest conditions ever.
It's oh really? The
nicest, yeah. Snow skating. It's always the best conditions. It's always the best snow. And the best conditions.
Oh, sure. I should really adopt your mindset, Josh. I get in a very negative mentality when I go outside and step on a snow skate and it's just ice or it's slush or something. So I'm guessing that it wasn't actually that great that day. But you still did that front board anyway, and it looked like you landed in just like this. It wasn't quite a wall of ice, but it looked not that fun to land into. But hey, still did it.
No, yeah, we did it, and I was very happy when we did.
And then
very happy.
Absolutely. And then the high five into Alan at the end where Alan goes, "Fucking shit, dude." Oh, one of my
Bjorn was the one filming that shot.
Oh, okay.
So, I think I have those 2 years a little bit confused.
Okay.
But that's the gist of it.
Okay. Because, yeah, the next clip is Bjorn with the camera saying, "Is the red light supposed to be on?" Oh, that's funny. So going into the next year with the trip to Burlington and then to Minneapolis and then up to the UP, talk us through that whole process. Because I was there for a little bit of the Minneapolis and Cloquet portion, but how was the skating in, I guess, all of those spots on that trip with traveling with Rob?
It was pretty good. It was very day to day.
Okay.
The spots kind of found us more so than we found them, or at least it's always been like that for me.
Sure.
I was never really one of the riders to go and try to do like the biggest gap or the biggest rails and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly just waking up every morning and thinking about snow skating and putting on our socks and just our socks and our boots and going outside.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a very, very fun time. Because first of all, snow skaters are the best hosts in the world.
Okay.
And on that trip, we had a lot of hosts. So we were able to go, even if we drove like 6 hours or 8 hours, in a day. There was a lot of driving in this trip, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But then we'd always meet up with someone that knew the spots, that knew where to bring us. And yeah, the filming was always really fun and spontaneous. Always very spontaneous for me.
Right. And one of my favorite stories of you, Josh, personally, was the night that you stayed actually with me in Cloquet in what would have been, I think, 2012, filming for Safari Time on this trip. And yeah, we were hanging out at my buddy Danny's shop, which was in the intro of the awkward video, Ice Lord Cripplers. I actually had to work that night. And I got off work at like 11 and I walk in and it's, you know, Rob and my friends and whatnot. And they're like, hey, have you seen Josh? I'm like, no. They're like, oh, yeah, we lost him. We're not really sure where Josh is. It's like, oh, that's weird. I was at work. I don't know what you're talking about. And you end up showing up like a half an hour later. You had just left the shop and gone to explore Cloquet. And just looking for spots on your own, like at night, late at night, whatever. And you ended up finding the spot that was the first trick in your Safari Time video, that drop into the PVC thing where that PVC thing broke.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I always,
that was a wild night. That was really fun.
That was so fun. Us filming in the limo and taking out whatever that dirt bike thing was that you can see in Ice Lord Cripplers or Four Wheeler. I don't even know what the heck it was, but yeah, there was a lot of drinking, a lot of fun that night. Alan didn't have that much fun. He ate Taco John's and he doesn't really eat that much fast food, so he wasn't really hanging out with us for a good portion of the night.
Uh-huh. Can you talk us through the beginning to Ice Lord Cripplers a little bit? Just like how... Where did that come yes. from? I mean, that is one of my favorite intros to any video I've ever seen.
Can you please refresh my memory about
this? Yeah, maybe we'll... it's the one, there's Eric in the limo, you're throwing like, was it knives at like a...
No, it was, we're playing darts. We're
playing darts, right. That's right. Playing darts, doing all sorts of...
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
You're talking shit on Brandon.
Braden Yoy, yeah. Yoy.
There's like everything about that intro is just like a super goony, you know, kind of a fun attitude. Like, I just wonder, like, if that's always been the, it's just so different from any Ambition video. I just wonder where those kind of come from. I mean, is it inside jokes? Do you like have these written out or? Maybe talk us through what you see the differences there.
Okay. Well, definitely there was more freedom with the AKWD handle mm-hmm. to kind of goof around and do more of I guess do more I don't want to say comedy or acting.
Mm-hmm.
But
just to do some goon stuff and have fun and do whatever you want.
Yeah, 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 definitely. Just to do that and also not as, let's say, you could say that like during the day you film for Ambition and during the night you film for us.
Yeah,
okay.
That's a very good way of putting it. I like that.
That's kind of how it was because yeah, that intro is really fun and it's kind of not about snow skating, but it kind of is at the same time, right?
Right. Right. So you guys didn't have a legitimate beef with Braden Yoy at this time, but how did that whole intro come about with you just bagging on him as hard as you could?
That came about because I think he had, I think at this time he had basically quit snow skating.
Okay.
And started wake skating.
Mm-hmm.
And that never really sat well with us. But it wasn't like a serious beef. It was just kind of like the way you would tease a younger brother or something.
Right.
But I met those guys in Barrie. when Jamie Cybulski was studying at the Barrie College in Ontario.
Okay.
And we had all went up there to his place with Stephen Sochnacki and Braden Yoy and Evan Ciniello. And I remember they were so young because they weren't even allowed to sleep over at James's place.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so I met them there, and they're really nice. But then they stayed with us, and then Braden sort of stopped snow skating all of a sudden.
Hmm.
And maybe that's why the beef is in the video.
Yeah, I just thought it was so funny how you got my friends David and Brandon in on that. And they had never met Braden. They had nothing against him. But you and Rob got them to, you know, talk some shit on video for the awkward intro. I just thought that whole thing was great. That's still like, that's still my favorite snow skate video to this day. Icelard Cripplers. It is just the best.
Yeah.
But so filming for Safari Time, even though this was an ambition project, you're still working really closely with Rob. You know, he's filming, he's traveling with you. And he ultimately edited the Safari Time part too, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And was that something that you ultimately decided because you wanted a certain vibe or feel to go with your part for the way that you filmed your tricks?
Yeah, I think it just made sense for us to keep it all in control of the person who filmed it.
Mm-hmm.
And Robbie was keen on editing my part for that video.
Okay.
And I think it turned out really well because we kind of had a vision for the part. If not a narrative, we definitely had like a sort of style that we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out really well. And I think it also, like, the part fits well in the video.
Right.
But it also stands alone well. It's different, but it's the same, you know? And I think that's because it's the one part in the video that's not edited by... I think it's Alex Blais that's been editing all the parts since maybe... since Safari Time.
Right. Yep. I think that was the first video that he edited, but... Yeah, you're right in that it still fits. It works with the video, but it does make your part stand out and have its own vibe compared to the rest of the part. So, yeah, always was a big fan of that part. And, man, that back lip that you did on that, like, guardrail in Shearbrook or back Smith or whatever you want to call it, that looked terrifying, Josh. Like, how did that go about and how hard were you slamming trying to get that trick?
Oh, I was slamming pretty hard. Always slamming pretty hard.
Yeah.
I would say in snow skating I slam hard, guys.
Yes, you do. Oh man.
And that particular trick, well, I had ridden on that ledge or that rail the year before.
Mm-hmm.
I had ridden on it before and I wanted to go back. I think it didn't take me many tries and I was very happy when I got it.
Gotcha.
Usually that's how I go. I try to take as less tries as possible and then walk away from it not too hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was always
that was a very scary I was rewatching that today. And I'm actually going to Sherbrooke in a few weeks.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, the podcasts got me really interested in snow skating again.
Oh, sick. That's awesome.
So I was watching the part, and then I was thinking, would I try this again? Am I gonna try this again? This exact guardrail.
Oh, are you going to?
I think I'll have to see how it goes first.
Ooh, that'd be awesome. I'd love to see that.
Like normal rails and stuff first.
Right, right. Yeah, that back lip, that always stuck out because, I mean, you obviously did it and it was clean, but at the same time, I think it was kind of because you were in more of like a back Smith than a back lip. Like, it almost looked like you were never fully locked in. You know what I mean? Oh, that just looked like, I'm just like shuddering here. Like, it just looks so scary. I just don't like backflips to begin with, or even front boards that much. But that always looked just terrifying. But that the last trick in your part where you're skating the abandoned building, I think was in somewhere in Michigan. But you do the line and you ride down that set of stairs where it fades to black. There was a bunch of like garbage and glass and a bunch of really dangerous stuff down there, wasn't there?
It was the basement of an abandoned building in Wasaga Beach, Ontario.
Oh, it was in Ontario. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, there was like, you know, glass and, you know, sharp metal and all that stuff down there. And you just did it anyway, right? You just wanted to get the shot, like, at all costs? Just didn't care about how gnarly it was down there? Just wanted that ender clip?
Yeah, that, and I knew that I wouldn't get hurt.
Okay. Okay. This is why we need you back in snow skating, yeah. Josh. We need to see more of this. Yeah. Oh, that's great. Something that I think we missed as we were going through this list of videos, but you had a pro board for Ambition. And this was in the days of the pro colorway versus the pro graphic, but you had the white pro model, which was always my favorite. I'm just a big fan of light colored snow skates, white ones especially. But how did going pro for Ambition, like, what was that process like with Alex Blay?
Well, I think he offered it to me. I got on Ambition with I don't know if you guys ever heard about the Rico's Fun Fest.
No, I don't think so.
But that was a one-off event sponsored by Ambition Snow Skates.
Okay.
And that's when I got on and I got the connection with Alex there.
Okay.
As an amateur rider. And then going pro, I honestly have no precise memory
of
how that happened.
Okay.
But I think it was something along the lines of an online conversation.
Okay.
With Alex and him asking me if I was ready to dedicate, you know, my whole winter to filming.
Mm.
And me being very happy about that and me being very excited about that,
mm-hmm.
Said yes, of course. And I think I'm the one who suggested, I'm certain that I'm the one who suggested that colorway.
Okay, cool.
Which I think ended up being, well, after that it was Charlo that had the black and white.
Right. So you were always a fan of the white colored snow skates as well?
Yeah. I thought it looked good on video.
No, it definitely does. And at least for me, I like the contrast between the black grip and then the light color on the bottom. As well as, you know, when you grind something, you get to see like the marks of whatever you grinded. You know, if it's like a colored rail or curb or something, it's kind of like a skateboard in that sense, to where you can kind of see those marks. I always thought that was cool. Is there any other reason other than looking good on video that you chose the white colorway?
No.
No? Okay. And moving on to Let's Play, you shared a part with Matias Fortier, and most of that footage was filmed in Kalamazoo, correct?
Yes, Kalamazoo and Detroit.
Detroit, okay. And the Ender board slide that you had, I was told that was first try, correct?
Yes, that was.
That's crazy. How did that come about? You were just like, oh, I'm going to jump on this rail, and then just did it, was done with it. That was it?
Yeah, it was one of those epic car rides that I've been talking about.
Oh, okay. Yep.
And it was one of those like, we'll be there in 5 minutes and we're just going to stay for an hour kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it turned out that it took us another 2 hours to get there.
Of course.
to find a spot, and we were there, I think, for 5 or 6 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, like many hours are behind, like even seconds in a snow skate park. And, right. That was first try, because I knew the other guys were going to be doing something different than board slide. So I decided I'm just going to get this over with, and then I'm going to hang out.
That's exactly what you did.
So I think that, that night it felt like it was a perfect setup. Like if I could, go back to those exact conditions and that rail and that stair set, that night was perfect. And I think Austin Welter did a big backside 180.
Okay.
Down a gap on that night. Charlo did a huge heel flip. Yeah, a bunch of us landed a bunch of tricks, but I was definitely the first to land a trick.
Gotcha. Very cool. And yeah, filming for the rest of that video, there's the dancing montage that a lot of it ended up in Levo Lu, and then just, you know, the dancing and Let's Play. How did that come about? Like, just you guys just jumping and dancing and throwing snow skates and stuff.
We just needed to blow off some steam.
So I just started dancing, and, you know, Blay and everyone took out the cameras from there.
Yeah. That's pretty much how it was. Sometimes if you're not snow skating and your fellow teammates are snow skating and they're trying to get a shot,
mm-hmm.
it can get very cold.
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you just got to dance it off to keep warm.
Well, it made for good footage into two projects, because no more awkward videos came out, but Phil Moreau stepped in for a year there with Levo Lu and used a lot of that footage that didn't get used for Ambition. And oh, that was a really fun video to watch as well. That, yeah, in Levo Lu, that also featured you on Go Snow Skate Day 2013. And that was when you were dropping in on that like 2x4 thing that kept breaking, and you were just slamming so hard.
Yeah.
Oh man, Josh, I don't understand why you do that to yourself sometimes, but man, it makes for great footage.
Well, thank you. Someone's got to do it.
Yeah. One more Josh slam story. This is when you were in Cloquet for the Safari Time thing, and I think this is in the credits of Safari Time. I haven't gone back and watched the credits for a while, but you were standing on top of this like sloped playground thing that was not even as wide as your board was, and you were gonna ollie like 3 feet onto another like handrail thing that again was not even as wide as your board was, you know, maybe 6 inches or something, and you had like one person on one side hold your board and one person on the other was me, and we had to let go of the snow skate at the right time to make sure that you wouldn't like go out of control. And sure enough, you went out of control anyway, and you slammed so hard, and I felt so guilty about it after, because I was like, man, I probably held on to the snow skate for too long, like Josh slammed because of me. Like, oh, I don't know if you remember that clip, but it was gnarly, man. I was scared for you.
Well, I'm still here, huh?
Yeah. Still kicking. But after this, there were no more awkward projects, and I don't think you were in another Ambition video after Let's Play. So what happened to sort of have you depart from snow skating?
I was thinking about that today. I knew that it was going to be a question, and I think it was actually a bunch of different factors that sort of converged.
Okay.
To essentially that brought upon the fact that I stopped filming.
Okay.
And I think the biggest thing has to be the fact that I was still living with Robbie at the time, but I believe I started playing music. We started playing in a band together, And we were very busy with that, and he was going to school.
Okay.
So I kind of lost my filmer
Sure.
because I would say that Robbie Prevost, apart from being a very good friend outside of snow skating, I think that he's the one who filmed, let's say, 75% or more of all my stuff.
Sure.
So when he sort of became busy with when he became more busy with school and all that, well, I think I just sort of decided to maybe go on hiatus.
Sure. Gotcha. Yeah, that makes enough sense. I can imagine that, having somebody to go out with and film with, basically from when you started snow skating and have that kind of, taken away just from, Robbie being busy with all the other stuff he was going into. I imagine that would make getting out and snow skating and trying to film at a high level for ambition nonetheless, much more difficult. Right. So were you still going out and snow skating for fun after you quit filming?
Yes and no. It went from when we were filming, it took up so much time. I think it was almost like a full-time job, basically, like 30 or 40 hours per week.
Right.
And when I stopped filming, I think it went down to maybe two or three sessions per winter.
Okay.
And I think about I was thinking about it a lot. It's funny how sometimes this is what happens, or sometimes things like this happen. But I think maybe I was afraid or something because it was. It was a matter of maybe the things that I wanted to do after Let's Play were too dangerous for me to try.
Oh, okay. Sure.
So I decided to lay low and learn how to play piano instead, I
Sure.
guess.
Yeah, challenge yourself in a different way that's not gonna, put you at danger physically. And yeah, anybody who's watched your footage knows that you can slam really hard. So, not necessarily a bad call, but it's a bummer not seeing Josh footage, but as you mentioned, you're going to go to Sherbrooke soon and you're thinking about stepping on a snow skate again. So what's going on there? What sparked that?
What sparked that is, winter is really not as fun if you're not snow skating.
Right.
And this whole week, actually, I've been kind of almost in a bad temper because it was cold and it was snowing and everything. And then I remembered that usually when it was cold and it was snowing, that made me really happy
Right.
because I was looking forward to filming stuff. And then I realized, well, if I'm going to live somewhere where it's winter 6 months out of the year, and that might be why I even started snow skating, actually, was to have something to do during the winter. I love being outside
Right.
and listening to the podcasts and stuff and watching the videos and everything made me just wanna. And the guys in Sherbrooke, they've been inviting me back every season. They reach out to me and they ask me to if I'm available, if I can go and hang out with them.
Oh, that's awesome.
And yeah, so even today I just messaged Charles Olivier and Charlo, and yeah, we set it up for in 2 weeks' time.
Oh, that'll be so cool, man. Even if like no footage comes out of it, just the idea of, you snow skating again and hanging out with the boys is it's cool, man. It triggers my snow skate nostalgia, if you will.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm sure some footage will come out, even if it's just Vierloo or Rude Boys. I started making snowskate videos with Charlo when I first started making them,
Okay.
maybe like 15 years ago. And we were the, we'd call ourselves the rude and rugged boys.
Rude and rugged boys. I had never heard of that.
These videos.
No.
They're out there.
Oh, wow. Still on YouTube somewhere?
Yeah, or maybe in one of Charlo's archives or something.
Sure. I'll have to do a deep dive on his YouTube channel and do some searching and see if I can find some rude and rugged snow skating.
Yeah, it's there.
Oh, that's awesome. So when you were kind of over snow skating after Let's Play, did you have a formal conversation with Alex and say, hey, you know, I don't really want to do this anymore, and say, I'm not really going to be on the team? Or was it more of like a natural understanding that you were just going to, you know, go off and do different things?
Okay, let me see. I think it was a natural understanding.
Sure.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So in your personal life, you've been doing a lot of stuff outside of snow skating, including making a lot of music and writing poetry. So talk us through what you've been doing in the last few years other than snow skating.
Okay, so if you've listened to the Robbie Prevost podcast, you'll know that the band that I was in with him was called 2 Year Carnival.
Mm-hmm.
And when that ended because we were all done with school, and then some of the members just moved away.
Mm-hmm.
It took some time, but then I started Booster Fawn.
Okay.
And I've been doing that a lot since then. And yeah, I decided to become a poet in 2016 is when I decided to become a poet.
Oh, very cool. Very
and
cool.
I've been writing every day, mostly every day. Like, I still take my weekends and stuff, but I've been writing every day.
Gotcha. Very cool. Now, is this almost like filming for like a snow skate video? Like, are you putting what you're writing toward like, you know, some sort of project or collection or a book of some sorts? Like, what are you doing with the poetry?
Let's say that it's kind of like a 10-year snow skate video.
Okay.
So I'm going to write for 10 years and then I'll see if I can publish it.
Gotcha. Very, very cool. Stacking the poetry footage.
Stacking the footy.
Stacking poetry. Sure. Oh, I love it.